Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm so glad you could join us. Over the past few weeks, I've been preaching a series of messages that are meant to accompany a new book that we here at Eager Avenue Grace Church and Reign of Grace Media Ministries are offering to you free of charge. The title of the book is What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. And what this is meant to be, I've been stressing in each message, is an exercise of what we call self-examination, where the Bible tells us, commands us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, the Christian faith. Do you claim to be a Christian? Do I claim to be a Christian? If we do, then we need to put that claim, that profession, to the test of the Bible. Can I put my claim to the biblical test, measure it by the Word of God, and am I willing to accept what God's Word says? If I claim to be a Christian and my claim doesn't line up with God's Word, then it's a false claim. I'm deceiving myself. I don't want to end up like those false professors in Matthew 7, where they said, "Lord, Lord, haven't we preached in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonderful works?" Only to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you that work it. I never knew you, you that work iniquity." I don't want to hear that. I want to have assurance of salvation. And that's what this is about. So I urge you, if you order the book, and I encourage you, if you order this DVD or CD series, as I said, we offer them free of charge, I urge you to use them as tools to guide you through a study of the Bible. There's no replacement for the Bible. No human book can ever even compare to the Bible. This is God's Word. So understand that. Now, this is the last message in this series. This is the 16th message in this DVD-CD series. And it lines up with the last chapter of the book, which states that Christians, true Christians, persevere unto the end. They continue in the faith. They will not lose salvation. And of course, what we're talking about there is the gospel and the biblical truth of the eternal security of the saved. And here in this last message, I want to give you several biblical reasons that true Christians are secure in salvation and cannot lose salvation. Several biblical reasons now. Now, you may come back with some reasons that you have heard. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I'm saved, they use the term once saved, always saved. Always saved. Somebody says, well, if we're saved always, it doesn't matter how we live or what we do. That is not what the doctrine, the truth, the gospel of eternal security teaches. The gospel teaches this, that salvation is not only what Christ has done for us in His work as the representative, surety, substitute of His people, but it's what Christ does within His people in the power of grace. So let me give you these biblical reasons that true Christians are secure in salvation. Here's reason number one. True Christians cannot lose salvation because of the glory of God and the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what's on the line in the salvation of God's chosen people? It's not your reputation. It's not my reputation. It's God's reputation, God's honor, God's glory. It's the preeminence of Jesus Christ. You see, the whole foundation of the salvation of a sinner and even the security of that of the salvation of sinners. The whole foundation is the honor, the glory of God in Christ. Over in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "For in Him," now the Him there is the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of His people, the Lord of glory, the God-man who saves sinners. What kind of people does God save? Sinners who cannot save themselves. Those who were ruined by the fall in Adam, who are born dead in trespasses and sins, and have no hope to save themselves, no power to save themselves, no will or goodness to save themselves, nothing to recommend them unto God. So how does He save them? By grace through Christ. For in Him, Colossians 2:9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now what that teaches is this. In the person of Jesus Christ, God in human flesh dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The fullness of the honor, the fullness of nature, the fullness of glory dwells in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ as being the tabernacle of God. John 1:14, it talks about the Word, who is Christ, the Son of God, was made flesh. That's His humanity. He's God and man in one person. The Word was made flesh and dwelt, the word literally is tabernacled among us. John 1:14. So the glory of God in the salvation of His people is engaged in the person of Christ. And then Colossians 2:10 says this. It says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, as God absolutely considered, Jesus Christ was always the head of all principality and power. But as God-man, as the substitute, the surety of His people, as the Savior of His people, as their mediator, He has an earned place as the head of all principality and power, made both Lord and Christ, based upon His obedience unto death for His people. And it's in Him, based on His blood and righteousness, that they're complete. And so here's my point. Do you realize that if God could lose any one of His redeemed, His chosen, redeemed, regenerated people, He would lose His honor, His glory, His reputation would be shot, and He won't have it. How do I know I'm secure in Christ? Because the glory of God preserves me. The glory of God, the preeminence of Christ. I could no more lose my salvation than Christ could be thrown off of His throne. That's what I'm saying. It's His glory. It is God's glory not only to save His people, but to keep them saved. And so they are complete in Christ. There is no partial salvation in the kingdom of God. When God saves a sinner, He doesn't save that sinner partially, conditioned on that sinner doing that certain thing. It's a complete salvation. I'm completely saved. I'm completely forgiven. I'm completely justified. I'm completely sanctified. And I will be completely glorified. It's all based upon a complete righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ freely imputed to me. And that's reason number one. Well, here's reason number two. True Christians cannot lose salvation because God is always faithful to His promises. And all the promises of God are sure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is directly related to number one. In fact, really, it's just another way of stating number one. But God is a faithful God. God never promised to save anyone part of the way or incompletely. He never promised any sinner that He would save that sinner if that sinner would do his part. No, sir. God's promise of salvation is the promise of all of salvation, beginning, middle, to the end, to its culmination, in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this. This in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. Listen to this. It says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." In other words, it was not an uncertain thing, but a certain thing. Verse 20, how could it be certain? How could it be assured? How could it be secure? Verse 20, "For all the promises of God in him," in Jesus Christ, "are yea, certain, and in him, amen, done." Oh, so be it, unto the glory of God by us. And then look at verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 1. "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." You see, you can't establish yourself in the kingdom of heaven. I cannot establish myself. It's God who establishes me, firmly implants me. And verse 22, "who hath also sealed us." You see that? "Sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Sealed unto the day of glorification. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, it speaks of the boldness that sinners have in coming to God through Christ by His blood. And it says in verse 21, "having an high priest over the house of God," that high priest is Jesus Christ, "let us draw near with a true heart, a sincere heart, a penitent heart, a new heart, a cleansed heart, in full assurance of faith," in full assurance of looking to Christ, "having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." The evil conscience there is a condemned, guilty, legal conscience. "And our bodies washed with pure water." That's the blood of Christ that washes away my sins. And look at verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Well, what is the profession of our faith? The true Christian now. That Christ is my hope. Christ is my security. And it says, "for He is faithful that promise." God cannot change. God cannot lie. He's faithful. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob, sinners saved by grace, are not consumed." God is always faithful to His promise. Now, we don't always remain faithful in the sense of always, we don't have perfect faith. We, true Christians, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the spirit, the nature of unbelief is still there, and we have to fight it. And there are times we stray. But God won't let us go because He chose His people. He saved them by His grace. Here's reason number three. Here's reason, biblical reasons that Christians cannot lose their salvation. Reason number three, true Christians cannot lose salvation because the grace and power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is the grace and power of their preservation unto glory. In other words, the grace that saves me is the same that keeps me saved. You see, salvation is not beginning with grace and then ending up with my works or grace plus my works. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul in verse 6 told the Philippian believers, he said, "being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's the day that Christ comes back. Whatever God starts, whatever God begins, He finishes it. Salvation is not God beginning it and you finishing it. That's not the gospel. That is a false gospel. That's a humanistic gospel, my friend, and it's false. You understand that? It's not, you know, that's why people go around, they'll say, "well, God helps those who help themselves." You know that's not in the Bible. If that were the case, we'd all be lost. Back over in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews in verse 20 makes this statement. He says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Remember what the shepherd of the sheep does. He saved, he died for the sheep, he saves the sheep, he keeps the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect, that is complete, in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, the eternal security of salvation lies in the abilities of the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, as I quoted earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when he's talking about how he was suffering all of those trials and persecutions, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And then in Hebrews 7:24 we read, but this man Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, completely, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Here's reason number four. True Christians cannot lose salvation because of the nature and terms of the everlasting covenant of grace of which Jesus Christ is surety. Who is the surety of your salvation? You claim to be saved. You claim to be a Christian. I claim to be saved. I claim to be a Christian. Well, who is surety of my salvation? Jesus Christ is the surety of my salvation. He's the assurance of my salvation. Now, if salvation or if any part of it is conditioned on you, whatever part is conditioned on you, that's the surety of you're the surety of your salvation, not Christ. In his high priestly prayer, Christ prayed in John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's the surety of my salvation. Back over in the Old Testament, Jeremiah spoke of this in prophecy. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. When the Lord was talking about the new covenant in Christ and salvation by Christ, he said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. That's what the Bible says. Here's reason number five. True Christians cannot lose their salvation because they cannot be charged with their sins. They're charged with the righteousness of God Himself. Now, I mentioned this before when I quoted this verse, but Romans 8 and verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. I'm not guilty. In Christ, I'm not guilty. In Christ, I'm righteous. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's why David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What was David talking about? Romans chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You see that? A true believer, a true Christian, is a sinner saved by grace, to whom God does not charge sin unto condemnation. And here's reason number six now. Biblical reasons. True Christians cannot lose their salvation because the righteousness by which they are justified is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the very righteousness of God. You see, my salvation does not stand upon my righteousness, my works, or even my will. Before God saved me, I didn't have a will toward Him. He changed my will. I've heard people argue about the irresistible, invincible calling of the Spirit, saying, well, are you trying to say that God brings sinners who don't want to come and who He drags them kicking and screaming against their will? No. God changes their will. And how does He do that? By the power of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And what does God show them in the gospel? Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you see that? I cannot lose salvation if I'm a true Christian, because I stand before God not in my own works, not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man. Well, what is the righteousness of God? It is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He worked out and established in His obedience unto death for my sins. He died, He was buried, He arose again the third day for my justification. Here's reason number 7. True believers cannot lose salvation because the Lord Jesus Christ is their mediator, their advocate, and their intercessor. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, when he talks about who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, it's God that justifieth. In verse 34, listen to this. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather. Now, Christ died, but He's not in the grave. That tomb is empty. People try to find that tomb. Leave it alone. It doesn't mean anything. He's not in that tomb. We serve a risen Savior. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. What does that mean? That His death overcame sin and brought in righteousness. And it says that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. Over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John writes, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The whole world there meaning God's people all over the world. Not all without exception. Christ ever lives, pleading the merits of His blood, His righteousness for His people, and they cannot be condemned. Here's reason number 8. True Christians cannot lose salvation because of the continual indwelling presence and power of God the Holy Spirit. I mentioned this earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about in verse 20, all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yea and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21, now He which establisheth with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. True Christians, they can sometimes quench the Holy Spirit. They can sometimes grieve the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will never leave. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what He said. And as long as the Holy Spirit indwells us, we will never totally, completely turn our eyes away from Christ unto apostasy and damnation. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition. Well, here's reason number 9. This is the last one. True Christians cannot lose their salvation because God the Holy Spirit in the new birth has given them a new heart and a new spirit. I mentioned this again back in 1 John 2, verse 18. John writes, little children, it's the last time, the last days. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. That spirit prevails, whereby we know it is the last time. In verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And in verse 20, but you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. This was prophesied in the Old Testament, that during the days of the New Covenant, it would not be like Israel, the nation under the Old Covenant, which were a rebellious people who continually rejected and disbelieved and fell into idolatry. Under the New Covenant, He said, they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. He said, I'm going to give them a new heart, a new spirit. I will cause them to walk in my statutes. I will plant that law, print that law on their heart. And my friend, that's why we can never lose salvation. Now again, we who are Christians, we're sinners. We struggle. We fail all the time. We go through trials and we fail miserably. But see, our salvation and our preservation and our glorification is not conditioned on us and how we do. It's conditioned on Christ, and He has made it so by His grace and His power and His will that we who are true Christians would never totally fall away, turn away, apostatize from Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He's given us a new heart. He continually testifies with our spirit and brings us back in repentance and godly sorrow over sin. And our life is a continual struggle. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And He'll make it so that we never leave or forsake Him. And that's why, those are biblical reasons why Christians cannot lose their salvation. Now this concludes this series that's meant to accompany the book, What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. I urge you to order them. They're free of charge. And I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.